partner. We got a little chaos in your coffee. It's Chaos and Coffee with the rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chaos and Coffee, the Monday edition. I'm a little bit slow today. I had a really big rock god weekend with multiple podcasts and multiple hosting gigs. I mean, Friday night I had one gig, Saturday I had two gigs, Sunday I had three gigs. And so I'm just kind of getting it back on my feet this Monday morning. We've got some interesting news for you today. Let's jump right into this. Something that I kind of was aware that happened, but this is a new story. This is from MSN.com under their money section. This is this was on MSN.com, but USA Today actually wrote it, apparently, or published it, because we know people write things, not papers. So, in Detroit, the title is Michigan Farmer, colon, dumping perfectly good cherries is rotten. In Detroit, a Michigan tart cherry farmer is leaving 14% of his crop this year to rot on the ground to comply with an industry marketing agreement intended to keep cherry prices stable, and he's not happy about it. Mark Santucci, who grows about 30 acres of cherries on his 80-acre Traverse City Farm, put a photo of the dumped cherries thick on the ground on Facebook Tuesday, and the photo has been shared nearly 38,000 times as of Thursday afternoon, which I think that's actually a pretty low number, considering that Facebook is worldwide. If something truly goes viral, it's hundreds of thousands of shares, if not millions. So, these cherries are beautiful, Santucci posted with the post, but we have to dump 14% of our tart cherry crop on the ground to rot. Why? So we can allow the import of 200 million pounds of cherries from overseas. It just doesn't seem right. Now, you might find that today's theme, it just happened naturally, but today's theme is kind of, you're not quite getting the point. You know, and it's going to show two sides of a story, and that's what I'm going to bring, is two sides of the story on some of this stuff. I don't think everything is going to work out quite that way, but at least two of the major stories I have today are that way. So this is one person giving their personal opinion on what's going on when there are trade agreements and laws. Now, I don't understand why you would let 14% rot when you can set up a farmer's market, when there are other ways to still make money and donate it to your local food bank. You know, there's different ways to do it. But let's talk about the why first. Let's talk about the why. But I wanted to point out, Santucci is the farmer, and he's talking about, so we can allow the import of 200 million pounds of cherries. Well, where do you cite that, sir? How do you get that number? Let's talk to somebody who can cite some things. Contacted Thursday, Santucci said limitations. Now, he responded to this article as this is still the farmer. The limitations on the amount of cherries he can sell are a vain attempt to prop up the price of cherries. That's what he said. And he says his concern it increases imports. Now, at issue is a marketing order imposed through the U.S. Department of Agriculture as part of the Federal Agricultural Agreement Act of 1937. Okay. That's an older law, but wait. But the law only applies to tart cherry industry because growers and processors opted into the order in 1995. So you're still talking 21 years ago. People the farmers collective, growers and processors opted in. It was created at the industry's behest. It was voted in by growers and processors, maybe not Mr. Santucci himself, but his cohorts and colleagues. I'm saying that. It's not in the article. Back to the article. It's not an imposition from outside. It says Perry Hedden, executive director of the DeWitt-based Cherry Industry Administrative Board, which oversees a marketing order not only in Michigan but in all states across the country that produce commercial crops of red tart cherries, including New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Utah, Washington, and Wisconsin. So keep on here. Follow me. Tart cherries are one of the most volatile crops grown in the U.S., with yields that can vary dramatically year to year, Hedden said. This whole concept of the marketing order has two goals: to inject a better stability into our market and improve grower returns, he said. The growers have been paid far better prices under the marketing order over the past 20 years than they were before the order was in place. Each year, the board, made up of handlers and growers, and with representation from each growing state, looks at cherry supply and demand dynamics. For years, when there are surplus cherries, that surplus has to be withheld from the domestic market, Hedden said. This year, it was a booming tart cherry crop. Now, this is a bad thing here. It was a booming crop. You'd think that'd be good. The third largest in the past 20 years. Now, this says something, though, by the way. The third largest in 20 years. Okay? So, how many years in 20 have been surplus? How many have been... I don't know what it's called when it's a negative, when it's not quite meeting the mark. How many have fallen short? Because the whole idea behind this is to keep balance. Because here's a free market, right? Free market says you grow as much as you can. You sell as much as you can. If you have a great year, you're, let's just for lack of a better word, saying you're rich. You're booming. You're good. You've got a surplus of money. But if the next year... bugs get into your crops, frost or freeze, whatever can kill cherries, and you can only harvest a third of your cherries, you're screwed. That's an open free market, and that's what it was up until 1995, is you would have people who would lose everything because they had a bad year. You might have people, this is human nature. A lot of people are horrible with their money, and just because you've got, I'm going to make up a number here, just because you made $100,000 this year profit on your crop doesn't mean you're smart enough to budget and live off of $20,000 and save money for next year. There's more than likely you're going to spend it. That's what human nature does. And the next year, something bad happens that you didn't see coming, and you have no crop or a half crop or a third of a crop. And now you're screwed, and now you're getting loans from the bank, and now you're putting me at risk because my money's in the bank. My money is basically being loaned to you. And what happens when you go under because you didn't manage your money or because stuff happens that you just don't see coming? We can't make you smart. We can't regulate smart. And the law didn't come in and make you do this. The cherry farmers, the handlers, the processors, with representation from each state that it governs, voted for this. To say, yeah, let's keep it stable. So that means in the short years, you're still putting food on the table for your family. Now, let's get back to the number I was about to read for this year. It was a booming tart cherry crop this year, the third largest in the past 20 years, an estimated 351 million pounds. That meant a surplus of 101 million pounds. That's a lot. I mean, that is bad. That's a lot. Now, here's the processor's options in times of surplus, include holding the restricted cherries in surplus, frozen, dried, or concentrated, for later slow years. So a processor can still buy extra stuff from the farmers if they have the room to freeze it, dry it, or make it concentrate. Farmers can also attempt to sell these surplus cherries in overseas markets or sell them domestically in a newly created market, either in a new product or by convincing a supermarket chain or other end user currently supplied by imported cherries to switch to U.S. grown. These are options. You know what that does? That puts the responsibility back on the farmer to become a businessman. Is that fair? Yeah, that's human. That's fair. Because that's what the open market was. The open market was, you didn't just grow. Nobody's just anything. You're not just a farmer. Oh, I just want to plant my crop. I want to harvest my crop and make some money. It doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. Open market says you're the businessman. You have to plant it. You have to grow it. You've got to negotiate buying the seeds. You've got to pay the labor. You've got to manage your business. You've got to harvest it. And then you've got to go be the salesman. And find the outlets to sell it to a distributor, to a processor, to markets, to wherever. You have to do that. Perhaps Mr. Santucci thinks that he doesn't have to do that. But the options are there. It's not that they can't sell it. It's not that they have to let it rot. It's that they now have to find other ways to sell it. You can, as far as I know, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it's going to be hard to regulate a fruit stand. I live in Georgia. I live in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta. And the further away from Atlanta you get, the more country it gets in Georgia. And people will set up little pop-up tents in front of a convenience store gas station at a corner in the middle of the countryside. It's a watermelon and boiled peanuts and whatever they're growing. It's like a mini farmer's market. There are plenty of actual farmer's markets where you can pull up your truck and sell out of the back of your truck. You rent the space for whatever the cost is for that day. Typically, it's $10 to $15. And you sell whatever you have. You got to put the hustle in, but you can do it. As far as I understand from this article, the cherry farmers can do that. You can go find a bakery that's local and say, hey, buy from me direct and we'll save you some money. You can do a lot of things, man. But Santucci said, imported tart cherries concentrate from Turkey and Eastern Europe is increasingly making inroads into the U.S. market and undercutting American growers and processors. Honestly, none of the rest of this article feels that way, sir. While that might be your impression, and that could be possibly true, I have no true idea about that. From this article, from the responses and the way it's written, I'm saying no, sir. I'm saying you're trying to be dramatic and giving these, you're not citing anything. You're not saying go to, you know, usmarket.com and you'll see that turkey is getting statistically larger. They're not saying, oh, we're going to buy less from you. The market orders, the market order for everybody. You are getting shorted because Turkey and Eastern Europe are coming in. That's the market order. And it's a 250 million pounds. Now, I would like to see a flexibility. If you're going to bring in a boom crop total of 351 million pounds and the market order is 250 million pounds, I don't work on those kind of numbers, on that size of things. I don't know how easy it is to be flexible. But it would be nice if you could have a flexibility of plus 50 million maybe. That would leave only 51 million pounds to be dealt with surplus by individual farmers. And that doesn't mean Mr. Santucci alone has 101 million pounds he has to deal with. 14%. 14% is honestly kind of tiny. Even at millions, 14% is tiny compared to what's going on. So this is irritating because it's just like, I feel like you just don't want to do the hustle. I feel like you want the government to hand you everything or the market or somebody to do this for you. And that's not cool, man. That's not great. So I'm going to finish up the story. If I have to sell these excess cherries for less, I might not make that much more. Well, that's kind of how it works. But if we're ever going to stop the increase in imports, we've got to compete with them head to head on every cherry we produce. If we don't do that, we're leaving the market wide open to them. See? I got to stop here. You're absolutely wrong. Go read the article. Go read the article. MSN.com. The link is in the show notes. blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. You can find the link there. If you listen to this on your iPod or your iPhone or any device that catches podcasting, the link should be right there in the show notes. You should be able to click it, and it'll take you right to a website to read the article yourself. But I have to stop here because I'm about to start yelling at them. No. When you have a market order, period, it protects you from them coming in. Free market, though, doesn't. Free market says, I'm a processor, and you're going to sell me your cherries for $50 a pound. And Turkey is going to sell me their cherries for $40 a pound after the import tax and everything else. I'm going to go with the cheaper one. That's what a free market does. That's where you get screwed. This is, to me, just fear of somebody who's not you. Get off your ass. Go do the hustle. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems. And you're still making money. You're still selling exactly how much you would have sold last year. You still are selling exactly how much you would have sold the year before. Unless you just didn't grow that much. And that's on you. Or that's on your circumstances. But free market, you would lose horribly because of your horrible attitude. You don't get it, man. And this is crap. And yeah, it's been shared 38,000 times by people who just get involved in your emotion. That's a nothing number for the internet, dude. Nothing. If it ain't a million, it ain't nothing. When things go viral, when things truly matter, you're talking hundreds of thousands to millions of shares. So you got a whole bunch of people go, oh my God, that's horrible. And they ain't going to do nothing about it. And it got you a news story that does you no good. All right, I'm going to reset. I actually have a different type of story here. And you know what? We're going to talk about a home invasion where where mask and tape killed a guy. And then we're going to talk about some Pokemon Go and some stuff going on there. All right, stay tuned. We'll hit this sponsor, and we're coming right back. All right, here we go. Burglar dies after 68-year-old homeowner ties him to tree with multiple layers of masking tape. This is, again, from MSN.com, and this one's from the Washington Post. Nathaniel Johnson had grown tired of burglaries at his mobile home in the small town of Leroy, Alabama, about 60 miles north of Mobile, which is kind of hard for me to read because it's a mobile home in Mobile, and they're spelled the same. So the 68-year-old decided to take matters into his own hands Friday night by springing a trap, Washington County Sheriff Richard Stringer told the Fox affiliate. In an attempt to make it look like nobody was home, he parked his vehicle at a neighbor's home and returned to his house and waited. Sitting near his back door, Johnson, the homeowner, told police, right? That's the homeowner? Yeah. Yes. Johnson, the homeowner, told police he turned the lights off and placed a car mirror near a window so he could see what was happening outside. Johnson told authorities that someone knocked on his front door before midnight, AI.com reported. Johnson did not answer and continued to wait as he heard the person move to the back door and break the lock. He then told police that he confronted the person. It doesn't say he was armed, or I'm assuming unarmed, because it doesn't specifically say armed, and there's nothing in the story that indicates he was armed. But he confronted the person, prompting the suspected burglar to fall or jump off the back steps. It's still a little unclear right now. Johnson subdued the man once he was on the ground and tied his hands behind his back, police told AI.com, I guess it is. Anyway, the man was later identified as a 31-year-old Cleveland Jones Gully. Now, a 31-year-old is breaking into a 68-year-old's trailer, okay? Police say that after restraining Gully's hands, Johnson placed duct tape over his mouth and tied the man to a tree using rudimentary materials, electrical wire, rope from a clothesline, and masking tape. He began to tie him to the tree in a standing up position and used multiple layers wrapped all the way around his head and mouth and body. And so with the alleged intruder tied to a tree, Johnson told police he returned to the neighbor's house to alert police. So I guess he didn't have a phone either. Gully was still alive at that point, no indication that he was dying. But when sheriff's deputies arrived at Johnson's home 10 minutes later, which is not unheard of, you know, it's a small town, it depends on where they were in the county. 10 minutes, even at lights and sirens, I mean, distance is distance. So don't get all caught up on that. Gully was dead. The intruder was dead. I don't think he was intending to kill the intruder, the sheriff told the Fox affiliate. I think he wanted to capture him and have him arrested. So Stringer told AL.com that Gully, who lives, so it's AL, so they actually wrote it correctly this time, because whatever. This is from the Washington Post. I'm just reading it. Stringer said that Gully, who lives nearby, had a reputation for breaking into homes. He had cuts around his body he's kind of a known criminal. He had cuts around the body from wire, but nothing that indicated that he would die. No visible injuries. And Johnson was not armed. So there you go. He was not armed. Johnson is the victim here. Of course, he never wanted to kill anybody, so he's struggling with this. And he's having a hard time dealing with it. The alleged intruder's uncle, now this is kind of fits in the theme. You just don't get it, dude. The alleged intruder's uncle, Michael Gully, told Fox affiliate that he was shocked by the allegations leveled against his relative. I'm surprised that it happened, he said. He just wasn't a violent person that I know of. There's no violence here, moron. He broke into a house. That's not violent. Okay, if you break the law, technically it's a little bit of violence. But that's not violent. That's theft. No, he's not a violent person. Nobody's accusing him of being a violent person. We're accusing him of being a burglar and a thief. God, I hate people sometimes. So right now, they don't know. Now, Mr. Johnson, the victim, is not facing any criminal charges. They're waiting for an autopsy to determine the cause of Gully's death. I'm guessing, now this was filed, this story was filed less than 20 hours ago, and And the police did hold him in custody for 72 hours, but they've released him since then. And it says they'll probably present it to the grand jury to see what they say about it. But more than likely, I don't see charges being brought against this guy. Because one, he's defending his home. Two, according to the story, now there could be details we don't know, and things can change. But according to the story, he was never intending to harm anybody. He used no violence intentionally. You know, he scared the guy, confronted the guy, whatever, which is his right to do. He detained him, and this is Alabama, and this is in a trailer park. So he detained him the only way he knew how, with tape and rope and wire. But nothing to indicate he ever tried to harm the guy. Now, if the autopsy comes back and can show that he did something, you know, there's internal whatever, and I don't know. I mean, there's no sign, no outward initial sign of violence, like bruising or broken ribs or choking or, you know, any of that stuff. So I would dare say, this is me being hypothetical, I would dare say that if for some reason they do find that he killed him, it'd be through negligence, and I think he's going to be found. I don't know what the term would be, the legal term, but there has to be an innocence due to the situation, right? He was merely trying to stop his home from being robbed again. This isn't the first time. This is, I mean, he had it so many times robbed by who knows who. We don't know who. It could have been the same guy that he caught. But his home has been robbed so many times that he waited. And all he did was confront the guy. And then he caught him. And so, I don't know. That's my take on it. That's something for you to discuss. Well, what do you think if you're the jury member? You know, if you're the prosecution, if you're the whatever. What's your take on it? What's going on? All right, one more story here. This one's going to get me a little hot, man. It is. Because I walk a fine line between respect and shut the hell up. So this is from KARE11.com. This is out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. This is their NBC affiliate, KARE11, KARE11.com. Vet confronts Pokemon players in a park. And on this article, there is a video that you can watch that is a news report. And, of course, they do show the YouTube videos and the cell phones videos that were taken. This guy... Okay, before I get into this, because I'm going to get very angry at this veteran because he's wrong. And I know I'm going to upset some veterans. And I'm going to say this up front, and if this doesn't get you to hear my point, then perhaps this is the wrong show for you to listen to. My grandfather served in World War II. I think he also possibly served in Korea. I think he did that as well. But he was literally at Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor happened. Now, there's a funny story about that we can tell later, because I know Pearl Harbor's not funny, but his story is very interesting. But he was at Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor happened, okay? He served. My father served in Vietnam. My uncle served in Germany when it was East-West Germany, and he served in East Germany during the Cold War. My family is a family of veterans, but my dad has never defined himself by the war he went through. And he was in, literally in Vietnam, in the jungles, doing his thing as a medic of all people. So very little protection. You know, he had a pistol. Well, okay, there's another funny story about that too. But he wasn't, you know, a sniper. He wasn't a soldier. I mean, he had the training, but he wasn't given all the gear and told to go kill people. He had to help people stay alive while being shot at. They served. But at no point did my grandfather or my father define themselves by the word veteran. At no point did they think they were entitled to anything. And this is where I'm going to get mad, because of entitlement that certain veterans think that they have. Well, I fought for your right to do blah, blah, blah. No, when you're saying that to me or to anybody, when you're jumping in people's faces about things, especially using expletives, and I'm going to get on this, dude, this guy, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to use some slight, not safe for work language. I will not use any F-bombs or S-bombs, but I am going to say, well, okay, just to get you prepared, I will use the A word probably. If that's an offensive thing, just be prepared. If not, then good. But no point did any of my relatives who served, that no point did they demand anything because they were veterans. At no point did they get in anybody's face. So here is a Pokemon Go versus veteran story. The title is Vet Confronts Pokemon Players in Park. This is out of Winona, Minnesota. The Winona City Council is preparing to pass an ordinance that would ban people from playing Pokemon Go at the city's Veterans Memorial Park. Let's stop there. That should be a public votable thing because it is a voting. Oh, sorry. I try not to swear, so it got my brain off. It is a public park, 100%. It's a public park. It needs to be a public citizen voting thing. We'll get into more of this. Council members say that the vote plan for Monday night tonight comes in the wake of numerous complaints of players setting up tents in the park and playing loud music. Not according to this story. Not at all according to this story. Now, they did have a tent set up, which apparently is not against any of the rules of the city or of the county. City. So this is city council. So it's not against any of the rules of the park. Playing loud music is against the rules everywhere. And if there were true complaints of playing loud music, the police respond and run them off or tell them to turn it down. There's a noise ordinance everywhere I've ever been. I've lived in some remote country places, and there's noise ordinances. So here's the kicker, you ass hats. It also comes on the heels of a YouTube video that shows a confrontation between a veteran and a Pokemon player. That's a video worth watching. Before you really get raging at me about veterans and respect and screw you, man, go watch the video. This guy was an ass hat. And while some people became disrespectful to him, he deserved none. He got violent with people. He got arrested. And I'm glad that he got arrested because he destroyed property. He was violent and he attacked a pregnant woman. Now, his belly is bigger than hers, but she stepped in front of her boyfriend because she was getting mad. And he literally body checks her. Now, not hard enough to knock her down, but he body checks her. Now, again, I'm not going to get off on pregnant women, this and that and the other, and you know how they can get all entitled. She wasn't like that. But the fact that you physically assaulted a pregnant woman in her pregnant belly, you deserve no respect. You deserve to go to jail. You deserve to lose everything, asshole. Because you're a dick. So Bruce Reed is the man in question. He's a well-known, Winona veteran. Now, what does that mean? We don't know. We don't know. When you say well-known, it depends on how you're spinning it, right? Is he well-known by the police because he goes on drunken rants over the weekend and gets locked up? Is he well-known because he is the nicest guy in town and he's always there to help you? We don't know. But he's chairman of the Veterans Memorial Park Committee. And the profanity-laced video, guess who the only person to use profanity was? Yeah, the veteran. Reconfronts the players and orders them to take down their tents and leave the park. It's not an expletive campground, he shouts. These are like expletive gravestones right there. And somebody immediately responded with sarcasm and said, no, they're not. And he literally gets in the face and says, what do you mean, no, they're not? And before they can answer, he slaps the phone out of their hand. Dude, I don't know that I personally, in this situation, because you guys listening to Chaos Scott, you don't understand some of the crap I've been through with veterans and some of the poop I've had to eat because of veterans. Old snot rags like this guy who think they're entitled to everything because who knows what he did. Maybe he really served. Maybe he saved the world. But it doesn't matter when you become a asshat and demanding and you think you're entitled to the world. And I've come up against that so many times. So many times. No, they're not gravestones. A memorial is not like a gravestone. If you wanted it to be like a gravestone, when you founded the park, you make it like that, where there are rules, where you can only be there at certain times, where you cannot congregate, where you cannot play in the park. Because this is a big, wide, open park. Go watch the video. This is a park where festivals can be held. I don't know if they are. I'm saying there's the space for it. This is a park where children can go and play. You don't think children accidentally, maybe on purpose, but let's go with accidentally, throw balls and hit those memorials? You don't think you don't think there's people sneaking off at night having sex in the park? Now, I'm not saying you would approve of that. I'm saying you cannot control it. You can't control it. And as far as we can tell, they're not doing anything truly disrespectful. He just lost his poop here. Now, somebody does say, crazy old man, one young man says, I wouldn't mind getting punched to get these veterans out of here. And honestly, that's the reaction you're going to get. I am 38 years old. So I'm in the middle here. You got the veteran on one side who's considerably older than me, and you've got what some would call millennials here who are definitely younger than me. And their attitude was, I wouldn't mind getting punched to get these veterans out of here because you're not inviting anybody to understand. You're not communicating with anybody. You want to poop on the world and say, this is my little section. Screw you, man. Nobody wants to remember you because you're an ass. And then you get mad because they have no respect for you because you deserve none. None. The way you're acting, the way you are. This is by no means out to all veterans, but this is out to the veterans who think this guy is right. This is out to the veterans who thinks it's okay to physically assault people because they're doing something you don't like. Not against the law. And you have no authority to kick them out. You have no method to kick them out. Guess who the only one who was arrested in this situation? Oh, my God, it was him. It was the veteran. He was arrested because he used profanity-laced language and assaulted people and tried to literally tear up their tents. To teach them respect. I'm going back to, obviously, the anger that I'm showing here, and I've got some deep-rooted issues that play into the church situation I grew up with that you'll hear about on the Rock God of Podcasting somewhat on episode, I think, 8 about dominating, world domination is the episode. But, so you'll understand a little bit more of where I'm coming from when that episode comes out. But I have issues with people who are assholes, who deserve zero respect because they give none. They are entitled D-bags, and they demand. And I've been around that all my life, so I definitely have this deep-rooted issue that makes me angry. If he had slapped the phone out of my hand, I mean, watching the video, my initial reaction was, I'd knock you the F out. I would take you down in a heartbeat because you trigger. Would it be right? Probably not. Absolutely. You know what? Let me step back. Absolutely not. It would not be right for me to respond in kind to this guy. Especially since I guarantee you I am way bigger and stronger than he is. It would not be right. But that was my initial reaction. And dude, that's the kind of crap you're going to get. You come at somebody with this entitled bravado, you might get killed. Luckily for him, all these I won't call them kids. I can't tell. The few you can see, some are definitely under 20. Some are possibly around 20. Young people, not kids. I won't call them young people. Didn't respond in kind. I mean, they got yelly. I mean, some of them definitely yelled and screamed. The pregnant lady was screaming right back at him. And he effing body checked her, man. That's beyond not cool. You're a veteran. Aren't you supposed to be the guy who defends women and children? Aren't you supposed to be the one who stands up for valor? There was nothing honorable about what you did. So he was charged with disorderly conduct and destruction of property after destroying at least one tent, which is seen in the video. Now, then I watched the actual report as well. He calls back. Or he takes a phone interview with the news channel and says, I regret nothing. You were the only one arrested. You were the one that was taken away from the park. You achieved nothing out of this. Well, he says if they pass the ordinance that nobody can play Pokemon Go, what is your problem, man? What's the point of a memorial if nobody sees it? It's not like they're throwing their trash at the memorial. It's not like they're there's nothing disrespectful to the actual memorial itself that I can tell from this story. It's just a park with a memorial. Here's his quote. Like I say, it's almost like Arlington. You're a moron. I can't even read your stupid words. You're a freaking moron. So every granite wall that we put up with names on it now is a tombstone? Seriously? Now? Every poster we put up, say, never forget. Every banner. Is that a tombstone as well? You think Arlington would allow this to happen? You have a hard time even getting into Arlington. Arlington is a whole different thing. I hate morons, man. I hate morons. I hate people who just want this tight little negative BS world that they live in to be everybody's world. And he says, despite the vulgar language and bumping a pregnant woman at the park, body checking, but whatever, Reed says his behavior was worth it if it results in the Pokemon players leaving the park. So we don't want people to actually look at the memorial. We want people to then turn and hate everything you stand for because you're just running them off because you don't understand them. The proposed Winona ordinance would ban using the grounds for recreational activities such as sports, athletics, picnics, or games or gaming. Why do you go to a park? Why do you go to a park? To have recreational activities. It would also ban. So see, these guys did nothing wrong. There's nothing banning that. Step two, there's nothing banning erecting a tent or hammock. So the proposal would ban erecting a tent or hammock unless the use of the same is part of a military memorial service or ceremony authorized by the session. There will be no sleeping or sunbathing, no playing any radio, tape recorder, or musical instrument to use or use any loudspeaker within the park unless it's been authorized for a military memorial service. So they are shutting down the park. Then don't effing call it a park. It's no longer a park. It's a middle finger to the world because you're small and bitter and stupid. And nobody will want to look at your memorial. Nobody will give a crap about your life. You will die lonely and miserable. And what will happen is everybody who you never explained the importance of what you did. Because that's what a memorial should be for, to explain what happened. Billions of people die in the world, every year. A lot of them die tragically. A lot of them die for good causes. Almost none of them get memorials. Unless you want to count a tombstone as a memorial, which that's apparently what you're trying to say. And then there are plenty who still don't get memorials. There are plenty of great people who die that nobody knows anything about. Screw you, you're not special. What is special, what is the reason behind a memorial, is to put it up so people who are willing to educate can say, no, this is what war is about. People who believe they're doing the right thing at the right time went and fought for what they believed in. And some gave their lives. Some gave their lives believing that it was to defend the freedom for us to live. But here's what you're doing with your memorial, is you're taking away the freedom of people because of you, because you want this one tiny little thing. I would be embracing, as a military veteran, I believe my father, my grandfather who's passed away, and my uncle who's passed away, but I believe they would all be bring people to the park. We fought so families could enjoy their lives. We saw horror and tragedy so that families can enjoy their lives. One last point here. I asked my grandfather to tell me stories, and he told me very few. None ever included violence. None. Because every time I'd push him towards, no, tell me about combat, tell me about, he would shut down. He only wanted to talk about happy things in life because he had gone through it so that he could come home and be happy. And he was a happy man. He had his issues, but he was a happy man. He wasn't like this asshat who had a snap moment. I deal with PTSD. Dude, everybody who's going through trauma deals with PTSD. You're not special. You don't see other people going around smacking people's phones and yelling and screaming. Not nearly as much as you just did. And the city attorney said the last thing is the council will discuss those and 10 more rules for park use. Now, and the city council has the right to put rules on their park. But because of this, this is dumb. And the city attorney will review the legality of the change before they vote. Well, you know what? If it fires you up, if you get angry words for me, I'd like to hear them. Bearcrawling@gmail.com. You know I'm going to speak back to you. You know if you leave me an angry email, I'm going to speak back to you. Go to charlesmcfall.com. There's a speak pipe tab. You can have your own voice. I'll do a show in response to all this stuff if you have something you want to discuss. You got 90 seconds on the voicemail to leave a voice message. Good luck with that. Follow me, Chaos and Coffee, on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. Facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. Follow me personally at facebook.com/rockgodofpodcasting. And Twitter is @rockgodofpod. I'll be back Friday with more news, more discussion points, and hopefully something a little bit happens.